That's right. The Drive is live. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, what do you think Nick Caserio is, his hide candy is? What do you think the candy he hides and eats that he don't tell nobody?
Fellas, good to be here.
What do you think it is? Sweet tarts?
Boston baked bean.
I love them, boy. I'll tell you, I love them bad boys.
What is it?
The Boston baked beans. It's the Boston baked beans. That's the one that come in the red box. You can open that up. But then I also like the, what's the red one with the patty with the nuts? What's the, it's red? It's red. It's red.
The
and
hell
it's,
are you talking about?
Oh, I'm going to pull that damn thing up. It's red. It's an old candy, man. My grandpa used to eat it, but it's red. It's got the nuts in it, and it and it's
100 like grand.
Like this.
100 grand?
Oh, man, 100 grand
it's
is
a
brown,
candy
man.
Bar, Chief.
They handed.
They're not talking about moon pies.
No. Oh, God.
It's so old, we can't even fathom
it. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know the name of it.
He eats hot tamales.
Yeah, he probably, oh, yeah.
Hot tamales are hard.
Healthy. He can tell that's healthy to him. Somebody texted in candy corn. But you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly
about?
What you're talking
Cause
about.
Because they got them real big, and they got them real small.
Clear package.
Yes, and it's red, yep. And it's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon candy puffs.
Oh, that's what you think? That's not what I'm
That's what I think after a quick Google.
I have to look at it.
This was before my time, I believe.
I'm about to fool around. Yeah, is it Peanut Patty?
There you go.
Is that? Yeah, yeah. Shout,
never
out,
heard
shout
of her.
Out to that person.
I was going to say Patty is in it somehow,
Patty,
but
yes.
I can't think of what it is.
Oh, boy, them bad boys. Oh, I'm telling you, man.
I really have never even heard of them.
Oh, look it up. Did you look it up?
Look the picture up. Look I bet you've seen one somewhere.
Oh, my God.
I bet you've been in an old restaurant in College Station somewhere. There's one sitting on a table, probably. It had dust on the package.
How can you make it?
They've been trying to sell them since 1982.
Well, I'm here. How can you?
Is that like peanut brittle?
You see it? It's red?
Yeah.
It's red and it's, well, how can I make it fatter? I tell you how. Go ahead, get that candy, slide over to the frozen area, go get you maybe some homemade vanilla bean, get that, take it to the crib, get you a nice little bowl. Smash up the patty, put them in there. Now you'd have made yourself a little bit of vanilla ice cream, like Blizzard type deal.
Yeah.
With the,
since
with
you want me to make it real fast.
Have I done that before? Hell yeah.
Oh, hey, look, that's one of the things that if you can describe it in
I've
that kind
that.
Of detail, there ain't no doubt.
Because I'm going to try to make mine concrete. I'm going to stir it in there together. And
oh, Blizzard. And oh, peanut patty Blizzard.
Oh, man. I'm telling you.
Y'all ain't never had one.
Hey, Dairy Queen, you might want to try it. I'm just telling you. I've done it before. I
hold on, Jones.
Right over there. Vanilla bean, it don't really hit with the bean. But the homemade vanilla, break it up in pieces. You don't want, because you don't want them too big, because they can get a little hard. And you might take a molar out.
Granny had it. Old Linda just
did she have it?
Peanut
oh,
patty.
I knew she had
peanut
it.
Patty.
I knew her young ass
you're going to get hard if you play us.
All right. Keep texting in. What do you think Nick Caserio cheat candy is? Because I don't believe him. I believe he's got a stash of something, some M&M, something. He got something. All right. A couple of things to get to. As we roll through on the drive, and we will have the official injury report when it comes out. But right now, what we're hearing, some good news and some not so good news. The good news is Henry Toa had the concussion last week. There were signs that he was going to be back in the building that many people thought, all right, that's a good sign that he showed up at the facility. Well, he was back at practice today. We'll get his designation when the official injury report comes out.
Ooh.
Kamari Lassiter, which was thought to be a 2 to 3 week injury, that still doesn't mean that has changed, Clint, because we saw Joe Mixon practice on a Friday and then miss the game. But a good sign for him to be progressing forward, Kamari Lassiter was back at practice today. No sign of Azeez Alshire. Thought that this could be more of a, it could be more of a 2 week injury than the 1 week injury. Clint, while we continue, you do got a little action right here in the side of the nose.
Got a little booger.
Yep. And Tunzel.
Damn sure do.
Howard and Mixon were all at practice.
You work
on the corner of my eyes, I just see him trying to find a way to flick it off his fingers and into the ground. And
what the hell else you going
to
do?
Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, he is unsuccessful in trying to get that.
Can't get it off,
he
man.
He can't get it. Now he's going to rub it on his jeans. He's going to do something to it. But those guys, offensive line, Mixon, they all practiced today. And then the other point to me from the Colts is Buckner and Taylor. They're arguably their two best players, most accomplished players right now. They have been out. Buckner was on IR. Taylor had been out. They both practiced today. So they are at least in a good place to be maybe trending towards playing on Sunday. So those are the latest unofficial injury updates. As I said, we'll have the latest when the official injury report comes back. But, hell, man, Toa Toa being back at practice, that's big. Lassiter being back at practice, that's big. If you get those two back, I mean, I think those are game changers, especially for the guys that they would be coming in for.
Lassiter being back is big. If that is official and he is back and there's a chance he's back this week, that would be big. And for obvious reasons, getting your starting corner back, but also give you another cover defender just in case, give you another cover defender. Allows you. I've said it multiple times. I think there's a place to expand your coverage packages and give yourself a little better chance in certain situations with more cover DBs on the field. So having Lassiter back, I think would be big. Toa, it's still, I think the he's still got some, he's at practice, but has some of that concussion protocol that he still has to pass to get back to where he can play. And so we'll see. But yeah, there's no doubt both those guys being back would be huge.
Big. All right. Well, with that, the Texans did make a move today. They did make a trade, or not a trade, they signed former, we remember mostly from the Buccaneers, Devin White, but he was most recently with the Eagles, who they let him go. But they bring in Devin White, linebacker from, as we said, from the Eagles most recently. Your thoughts on this? This guy's a former multiple-time Pro Bowler. Was one of the premier linebackers in the league a couple years ago. Your thoughts when you first saw this, when you first heard this news, your thoughts that the Texans reached out and got Devin White in the fold?
Doesn't surprise me they're bringing in a linebacker that's a plug-and-play guy, that whether he fits or whatever you think of him, he is a guy that can come in and plug-and-play and should be able to help you. I'm sure there's some shortcomings there. He wouldn't be on the streets. But so that number one is clearly, you know, they've got some issues with depth. I mean, I don't remember seeing a snap last week where Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen weren't on the damn field. Yeah. And so you got, at the very least, it's quality depth that I think you can plug and play and expect him to play pretty quickly and not have to develop him and teach him and yada, yada, yada. So that number one. But the biggest part for me is, Ron, I didn't realize how young he is. I thought he was older. He's only been in the league 5 years. This is fifth year.
Yeah.
Like I didn't realize that he was a 2019. I think he was the fifth overall in 2019.
He was fifth overall?
He's top 10. I read it earlier. I just don't remember exactly what the number is. I think it was fifth.
This him coming fifth. Out of LSU.
2019 out of LSU. He was a top 10 pick with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And lit it up for a handful of years, and then the last couple of years he fell off.
Some injury stuff there, yeah.
My immediate thought, Ron, was Mario Edwards and the difference that they talked about with him in this system, with D'Amico Ryans as your position coach, with D'Amico Ryans and what we watched him do with Mario Edwards. Is this a chance where you see D'Amico Ryans signs a guy and all of a sudden that guy gets back to or even remotely close to playing some of the football that he played his first few years out?
That would be killer.
If he could pull that off here in Houston.
I guess this maybe sometimes goes to the mindsets that we or the way we our minds go. Because
yeah, I trend positive, you trend negative.
That's sometimes
my boy Ron.
Skepticism is. I would say you call it negative. I call it some questioning. I'm a natural questioner. See, for all the things you listed, like I look at Devin White, fellas, and to me, I think, well, that's not a depth piece. Like I understand what happened with the Eagles, but like that's a guy to me that's like, well, you look at him, you think he can, he's somebody you're going to play. Like, to me, in my mind, I'm thinking, if Jake Hansen and Devin White were both on the feet, like, you know, on the team, who's going to play? I would say Devin White. if Devin White and Neville Hewitt were both on the team, who would play? I would think Devin White. Hell, one of the season, if you said Henry Toa Toa or Devin White, I would have said Devin White. And so when I looked at that, I'm like, that's a guy that you would think is going to play. That's not a guy that you think like, hey, man, that's a guy we're signing for depth. So immediately my mind was like, Christian Harris all right? Is the Aziz injury, is that potentially longer or something than made me wonder? Because this isn't just a body. This is a guy that I also think would expect to want to play. As you said, was he 26? 26 years old, like, you know, a former Pro Bowler, maybe, what, a couple years ago, and had some injury stuff. So it'd be great if it's just a depth thing and this has nothing to do with the other linebackers that they have on the team that they expect to play. Like, you expect Christian Harris is going to play, what, 100% of the snaps when he's healthy? You expect that Aziz Alshire is going to play, you know, 90 to 100% of the snaps as he's healthy? And then Toa Toa, and when you bring in a Devin White, to me, it's like, that's where my mind was. Is something up with those two guys? Is there something lingering in which they felt like they didn't need to just get a depth piece, that they needed to get, you know, somebody that they could potentially depend on?
Look, I think that's fair. I think it's, I mean, you can wonder into the health of all these other guys. Hell, there's three of them you can pick from of whether their injury's longer term than we think. And is a guy like Devin White a guy that could fill that void? Look, I think I think clearly they're picking him up because they need linebacker play, and they feel like he's a guy that can help them. I don't know where he's at from a standpoint of where he fits in or why they're picking him up. I just look at it as, boy, even if it's a situation where you just got a bunch of journeyman defensive tackles like you did in camp, and all of a sudden one of them fits your system and takes to your coaching better and gets back to playing his good, great ball or his best ball. Boy, if D'Amico could pull that off with a Devin White, hell, I don't give a damn about all of the issues that may or may not be there with some of the other guys. But the reasoning behind him being signed is obviously because of the injuries.
Yeah, and that's that. Obviously that, but then to me, when you look at a guy like that, it's like, right, does this mean that these injuries are a little bit more severe or longer, that you felt like you needed somebody that, like, yeah, you can roll with Jake Hansen and Neville Hewitt for a week. I don't know if
you still need depth.
I could see some say, well, I don't know if I want to roll with him for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. Someone texted in, Cornbread, didn't text in on the YouTube and Twitch. Cornbread said, who cares? Signing D. White is a good depth piece anyway. Yeah.
Low risk, high reward. Low risk, high reward. There's not a whole lot to lose, but that dude is, golly, I thought he was longer than a tooth.
Wouldn't you think he would have options? You know what I mean? Like wouldn't you, like, I don't know, I wouldn't look at him and think, boy, he was just sitting over there and nobody.
Yeah, but right? I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, if you had options and you got a chance to come in and play for D'Amico Ryans and get coached by D'Amico Ryans. I understand that.
And some injuries, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that there may be a traffic jam if and when everybody's healthy, but, ooh, boy, I mean, you tell me that I can come play for D'Amico Ryans and play in this system, and Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen are the guys that I got to go in and ultimately outplay to get good quality time. Those guys play great, don't get me wrong, but if I'm Devin White, my radar.
Those are special teams guys.
Right. So, yeah, no, I mean, there's got to be something wrong for a guy of that caliber to have been on the streets. I mean, because
the Eagles, you would think the Eagles could probably use some linebacker play.
Yeah.
So, that's the latest there, is the Texans add to their linebacking room, and we'll see what that is, what that means for it. College basketball season is just around the corner, folks. My favorite time of the year, baby. College basketball right around the corner. Don't miss your chance to catch the Houston Cougars men's basketball team as they face off against Tyler's Texas A&M Aggies in a charity exhibition game this Sunday, October 27th, 4 o'clock inside the Fertitta Center. Grab your tickets now. They're just $35, and all of the proceeds will benefit those affected by Hurricane Beryl right here in the greater Houston area. So go ahead, $35, call 713-GO-COUGS.
Go Cougs!
Or visit CougarsCougars.com tickets to get those tickets now. So that's coming up here on the 27th. Should be a fun event. Yes, hey, Clint, Devin White got traded, but that wasn't a trade of the day thus far. The trade of the day is former Houston Texan, and I think a guy that should go into the Ring of Honor here with the Texans, but maybe I'm off. DeAndre Hopkins, the Chiefs finally go out and get one of these receivers that they needed with all the injuries they had at that spot. How you see that one working out? And listen, you've watched him up close more than I have.
Yeah,
I mean, how do you see that working? Where he is, 32
well,
years old.
Look, I think there's a lot of folks that have called him washed since he left Houston. If we're being honest, boy, them folks are puckered up a little bit right now with him going to Kansas City, because there's a big opportunity for him to have all the support in the world and be able to play well. And
I mean,
so,
he had 75 for over 1,000 and 7 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, no, he crushed it in Arizona for a year and a half as well when he was healthy. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Boy, all of a sudden now he's on a team where people are paying attention, and now if he puts up those same caliber numbers, then all of a sudden, it's folks that were running around talking about he's washed, he can't play no more, he's too old. Boy, it's going to look silly to me. I love him in the system. I think he's complimentary to Worthy. I think his play style is very, very complimentary to Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes. You talk about the way Pat's upbringing in the air raid offense of you know, there's less structure in that offense, I think, and more about feel and spacing and things of that nature. My air raid coaches are going, what the hell are you talking about structure? I'm talking about just like your slants aren't always ran at three steps and 45 degree angle. You know, they're different. There's different ways of attacking the pass game, and it's a little bit more fluid, a little bit more feel. And I think that's the way that Pat grew up, and I think that's the way that Pat still plays the game today, and I think that's the way Kelce plays the game today. And I think that is always the way that when you look at DeAndre Hopkins, it's always the way that he's preferred to play the game. And so I think it's got real legs here that this could work in a big way for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'd be surprised if people who will go on a limb and say, well, it's not going to work. It may not, but like, I mean, you would think, regardless, we've seen it, Kareem Hunt. We've seen it with Juju Smith-Schuster. We've seen it. Like, these guys go with Andy and Mahomes, especially Andy Reid and how he uses people. Like,
yep,
at least got a shot.
Damn, he uses people?
Yeah, he does.
That's jacked up.
Not Tammy, though, his wife. But you would at least think that they got a shot to be able to do something, to figure out something like better than what he has been dealing with here before. Now, Callahan's not bad, but I mean, like, I mean, people looking at him, he had, 15 catches this year and one touchdown. But we'll see. I would give Andy Reid and that staff with Mahomes the benefit of the doubt to think that they can get whatever the best is out of DeAndre Hopkins that's left in his 32-year-old body. I would give them the benefit.
Great body control, long arms,
great hands,
big body, strong hands. You got to give him a quarterback that thinks, you know, that'll throw it when you're not covered. I mean, when you're not open, that's DeAndre Hopkins does his best work, always has.
All right, we got a would you rather, and it has to do with potential Texans returning from injury. Would you rather? That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, coming up right, Tyler, next segment, we'll hear from the head coach.
You sure as heck will.
Thumbs up. D'Amico Ryans, we'll hear from him. And there's a lot to hear from him with, especially coming off of Monday's press conference of the signing of Devin White. We'll hear his thoughts on that. Hopefully he jumps into that. And if I know it, there's going to be somebody probably going to ask about Christian Harris again.
Oh, no.
And honestly, when you hear his responses, you can kind of tell, like, oh, if he's close, if he's a good, if he's not, whatever, you can kind of tell by his reaction on certain guys when he talks about them, if they're going to be close to being back. So We'll hear from the head coach coming up here in the next segment. But with that being a would you rather, as they said, they can clear, they've got guys that are eligible to come off of IR, Clint. Christian Harris, which is one of them, I just saw somebody said, I believe Christian's retired. Like, guys, like, calm down, man. He's a little injured. We'll see. I know we're rolling on 3+ months, but I don't think the kid's retired.
Put him up!
That's right. All right, calm down. But would you, little would you rather, guys that are eligible to come off IR, Christian Harris and then Jeff Okudah. A cornerback, Jeff Okudah, who they brought in, who has not been able to play yet. Christian Harris, who has not played yet this year. If you got one, that you can bring back, two guys eligible, one that you could bring back for this team right now. Who would you rather have right now? No, you'd like to have them both, but who would you rather have right now, Christian Harris or Jeff Okudah?
Ron, it's crazy to think that this is a good question.
It's harder than you.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a couple other questions that I would like to ask off of it before I get my answer.
Well, the Kamari Lassiter news that he could potentially be back changes things a little bit about with this. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, it's Jeff Okudah for me right now. And it has more to do with the guys that are playing, the depth players that are having to play. And there's a linebacker crew that whether you're talking about Henry Toa or you're talking about Neville Hewitt or you're talking about Jake Hansen, those guys gave you a chance to win games last week and in the last couple of weeks.
Orlando.
The backup corner situation hurt you throughout the game. They clearly attacked D'Angelo Ross multiple times underneath. Now, they didn't get him, if I remember correctly, they didn't get him deep. But they damn sure attacked underneath and targeted him for a good chunk of the game. So Jeff Okudah for me, assuming that Jeff Okudah is healthy and can go, I'm pretty confident saying he's a better option than D'Angelo Ross. And that upgrade at the cover defender position is more important than the upgrade of Christian Harris over the linebackers that have played really well.
Fernando on the text line said Harris over Okudah, but Nico over both. Well, Nico's not eligible to come off yet. It's difficult. As I said, I got questions off of it. My first question, yes, is like how healthy is Kamari Lassiter? And how confident do you feel that Kamari Lassiter can finish the game? Like, is there any chance that he can't finish the game? And are we talking about just for this week? Because for this week, I mean, Anthony might miss it as many times as he hits it. So with Anthony being back there, maybe you can get away a little bit with Ross a little bit. And Jonathan Taylor, is he coming back? And if Jonathan Taylor's coming back, like the running the football with Harris. And his ability to not only be able to help with Taylor, but more importantly, his ability to be the guy on the field that can stay with Anthony Richardson and Fisk. We saw what he was able to do with Lamar Jackson in the playoff game last year. His ability to be able to take that away from quarterbacks. In this particular game, I would say Christian Harris. In this, especially in this game, with the ability of Richardson to kind of run. And, he is somebody that is athletic enough to stay with him, especially from that linebacker position. And, obviously, he is the more special of the two players.
Mm, without a doubt.
Clearly, as you, D'Amico has said, he is their most talented linebacker. And the wonder is what things he wants to be able to do. Or are there other extra things that he can do from a playmaker perspective with Christian Harris? So, in this game with maybe the passing game not being as scary and the run game being more of a situation, especially with the quarterback, I'd say Christian Harris. But, like, D'Angelo, I don't know how anybody can feel comfortable with D'Angelo Ross.
Well, I'm assuming both of these guys are going to be back at some point.
Yeah.
The team is significantly better with both of them, I believe. But, boy, this team is in a rough, rough spot with their cover defenders right now. And I think you throw, even if Lassiter's back and you got Jeff Okuda, Lassiter, and Stingley, I know last week was rough, but you've got some options there with your cover defenders.
Well, I want to see Okuda back because I want to figure out, Clint, if they are just hell bent on playing Eric Murray and Petrie in coverage out of the slot, or are they doing it because they just don't trust, even with Dez King on the field last week, they just don't trust others to do it. And now watch D'Angelo Ross, you can see why they made it.
Yeah, right. I think that D'Amico Ryans is having to play left-handed right now. I don't care. Hell, he would have a hard time if to be honest with you, if he called, he'd have a hard time convincing me that Eric Murray and Jalen Petrie in coverage, as much as they've had to have man coverage, he's not comfortable with that. But it's what they're having to do to stop the run. It's what they're having to do to generate the pressures that they're generating. It's what they're having to do to give their win now moves, their big time impact players, better opportunities to win 1-on-1 battles. There ain't no way they're comfortable with that, with how often Eric Murray in particular, but Eric Murray and Jalen Petrie had been in critical coverage situations. There's no way he's comfortable with that.
And against the last guy you'd want them to be in coverage with many times.
Come on, man.
Them and Justin Jefferson. All right, coming up, we'll hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, get his thoughts on the injury stuff and hopefully on the addition of Devin Harris. So stay tuned right now. Coming up next, you'll hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You ready? You think when y'all hear from D'Amico, when we get done here with D'Amico, you think you're going to feel better than you did?
Yeah, girl.
All right, there's Tyler. Yeah, girl. Think you're going to feel better about D'Amico?
I like to think Miss Stafford there was being a little sarcastic.
I hope my man Dominic is listening. You going to feel better about D'Amico when you listen to him? Let's go.
Say no.
Let's head to NRG. Let's hear from the head coach. He said he's already turned the page, baby. He's on. He's on to the Colts. Let's hear from the head coach.
Caliber of linebacker. He's been in the Pro Bowl before. How much do you think he can help you guys? And what was the thinking on getting him?
Yeah, excited to get Devin. And here we'll work with him and see where he is. Right, try to get him caught up to speed to see, you know, if he can help us. So it's this opportunity for Devin to compete, come in and learn how we do things and see how he can fit in and how he can help us.
Kamara, that's how good it was to get them back on the practice field.
Yeah, it feels good to get Henry and Kamara back out. You know, two guys who started for us, played a lot of ball for us, made a lot of impact plays for us. So it's encouraging. Anytime you can get those guys back out on the field. So good to get them back, and we'll see day by day, see how they continue to progress, and see if they can help us this week. We wanted to add him to, you know, give him an opportunity to see where he can come in and help us. That's what it was about.
Joe Mixon, the last couple games since he got back from the ankle, has been pretty dominant, over 100 yards each way. First game against the Colts, how much can you take from that, some of the things that worked, and try to do that again?
Yeah, Joe's been phenomenal for us, right? The way he plays the game, his play style, his demeanor, how he runs with the physical mindset, like it's everything to our run game. When we've ran the ball well, it's no secret that Joe has been in there, and Joe has been, you know, part of the reason why we ran it so well. Also with the blocking up front by the O-line, the tight ends, receivers, everybody involved, you know, the run game goes as all 11 go, right? And Joe has been a big part of our success in the run game.
Having the quick turnaround, the two games in 5 days, does that at all impact the approach heading into this week? Like, is there any, like, well, we don't want to put this guy on the field because we don't want to.
This week we're focused on the Colts, everything we have to do to, you know, go out and compete our best versus the Colts and try to work to get a win. So that's our focus. We'll deal with next week when next week comes.
Devin White, obviously, to start his career, all-pro, pro bowler, past couple of years, he hasn't had that same level of success. Why do you think the reason behind that is? And what do you think you guys can do to try to get him back to that? Because he obviously has the talent to be one of the better linebackers in this league.
Yeah, it's no secret that Devin has been an all-pro, top linebacker in his league coming out of college. He was, you know, kind of a no-miss player. He went top 10 in the draft. I mean, he was an exceptional talent. So what happened and why he's here, you know, no one knows. Like, life happens to us all. You just have to keep punching, keep attacking each day with the right mindset. And we, opportunity for Devin is to come in here and compete. Right. Again, nothing's promised. We don't know what the future holds. It's just one day at a time. Compete every day and we'll see where we end up.
Obviously, CJ's had a lot of success in his time here. But what have you seen from him in the rare times where maybe he has faced more adversity or struggled a little bit? Like how he bounced back from that?
Yeah, CJ handles adversity really well because he's really grounded. Right. He's grounded in the word first and foremost. And that helps him to be able to weather, you know, the adversity when tough things come his way. Is, you know, losing a game or having a tough game is the only adversity he's faced in life. And if it doesn't dictate who he is or change, you know, his personality and what he's about. So, you know, I'm excited to see how not only CJ, but how everyone responds, you know, after losing a game. Is it adversity? No, we lost the game. There's a lot more adversity in life that a lot of people deal with. We lost the game. It happens. Like, let's move on. Let's see how we play this week.
Some of the communication issues that y'all had in pass protection, going back and looking at it, how much of it was stuff that you felt like is correctable in a week and how, versus things that you guys might have to do differently because of what's going on?
Yeah, great question there. I mean, the communication can definitely pick up, and I think our issues have really showing up on the road when it's loud and, you know, it's tough to communicate. That's where some of the issues come out. But I think all of it is fixable. And that's the encouraging part about it. All of it is fixable. You know, our guys have picked up these stunts and different things that we've seen. Our guys have picked it up before. So I'm encouraged, right, to see how our guys respond this week. You know, we'll see similar things, right? Whenever one team does something on tape, you know, you have to get ready and prepare for the next week because teams will see, like, have you put the fire out? So it's a great opportunity to see us go put the fire out this week. It's a tough challenge versus this defensive line. They do a great job of executing their stunts really well. So we know, you know, we'll have our hands full again this week.
I know you guys pumping noise at practice. How much does that help to try to prepare yourself for the road games when you do have some of those communication challenges that could arise? How much does the noise that you guys sometimes pump at practice kind of help prepare you guys for those instances?
At practices, we try to make it as difficult as possible with the noise, with blasting the music or crowd noise sounds, but you can never simulate exactly what it's like on the road, especially, you know, and you know, environments where the fans are really prideful and affecting the game. So in two places we play, they were pretty loud there in Minnesota, had a great fan base, affected the game, and also in Green Bay. So it's difficult in any team. It's difficult on the road. Everybody knows that. And you have to still find a way to adjust and be able to communicate and make the plays, get the calls. Everybody has to just lock in a little bit more. You have to strain a little bit harder mentally to lock in and get the communication done.
You're talking about the communication issues with the offensive line. Is it understanding where people are coming from when they're giving you these various looks, or is it what assignment it belongs to which person in that scenario?
Yeah, I think we throw the word communication out loosely. It's a lot of just, at the end of the day, just get the job done. Like, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to physically, like, getting the job done. We know where we got to be. We know who we're on. It's just a matter of doing it with urgency and finishing the proper way.
How useful is the week one performance that you guys had against them, both looking back at what you did that was successful, what wasn't successful, and then maybe kind of gauging it off of what they've done maybe the past couple of weeks?
Right.
So that was like 7 weeks ago.
I appreciate that one. That's you look back at week one, but it seems so far away for me, so far removed, especially being the first game of the season. Everybody is trying to figure themselves out that first game, and you kind of throw that game out of the window, and you see, you know, kind of where the trends, where are they moving these last four games, right? Especially the games with Anthony Richardson and what they've been able to do. Like, you see their style of play and who they want to be. Of course, I know first and foremost, they want to run the football, right? Getting Taylor back, he's an exceptional playmaker. Right? He has the stop-start ability. He has the home run speed, contact balance. Like, they have to rely on the run game, and they have really good guys who can run it with JT and with Anthony Richardson. So that's where it'll start. And then, you know, with the explosive passes, we know we gave up some explosive passes there in our first game, so we have to be just disciplined in our coverage and play the defense the proper way, and we try to eliminate those explosives. But, you know, we'll kind of see how they try to attack us. You know, they're getting some guys back. They get Buckner back defensively. That's going to help them, you know, with their run game and their pass rush. He's a great player as well. So things change over weekly. You know, things change, and we'll see. We'll be ready for whatever they throw at us.
Caleb Bullock is leading the NFL among rookies for interceptions. What was it allowed him to jump right in and make an impact as a rookie?
Caleb's jumped right in and had a huge impact on our team because the game isn't too big for him. Like, he's just doing what he's been doing since probably high school, going up, catching the football, attacking the football, going back to his baseball background, tracking the ball in the outfield. Like, he's done it for a long time, so it looks easy. Those are not easy plays by any means. He makes it look easy because of the work that he's put in to make it look that way.
Would you go after Hewitt Hansen with the increased defensive reps?
Yeah. Jake and Neville did a good job for us. They fit right in. They handle business. Right? You talk about to start the game, Neville getting the interception for us, you know, making an impact play that was huge for us. And Jake fit in, made a huge play on a reverse. Those guys stepped in. They didn't blink, and they made the plays they needed to make.
D'Amico, when you talk about getting DeForest back, they're getting Buckner back. You guys got D'Amico Autry back last week. What did you see from him after watching the tape? And did you notice anything that really stood out after missing 6 weeks?
Yeah, Autry is just like anyone else. When you miss that much time, it takes time to, you know, get yourself back into playing football and being the impact player that you were. But saw some good things from him in the week of practice and in the games. He's trending definitely in the right direction, so I'm pleased with where he's headed. I know he'll be able to make a huge impact for us, just continuing to get more reps and get his feet underneath him.
Coach, I know that you have a lot on your plate, but when you look at the offense and look at the offensive line, how much of your playing days and when you're watching the film and what you see from when you played as a linebacker helps them to be able to recognize some of the things?
You know, when it comes to the offensive line and helping those guys, it's just as the head coach, it all falls on me. So it's a matter of us all, you know, helping each other out in whatever aspect that is. You know, I lend my knowledge that I have in that area as well, try to help, and our coaches doing a great job of teaching and helping those guys well. But we're all in this together, and we'll be fine. I know everybody has questions on the offensive line. Of course, it wasn't a great outing. Hey, we move on. How do you show up this week? That's what it's all about, man. You show up, have a bad day, it happens. How do you respond to have a better day the next outing? So I'm looking forward to seeing our guys play this week.
This might run counter to the answer, but with the trade deadline approaching and other AFC teams making moves, do you anticipate needing to make a move before the trade deadline?
Not thinking about any moves. I'm thinking about beating the Colts right now.
All right, you heard it there. Not thinking about any moves, thinking about beating the Colts, and they moved on to the Colts. That was the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, a lot there that we may have to revisit as well. But coming up, big 3 o'clock hour, a little stock up, stock down a little bit later, and we'll hear from C.J. Stroud as he speaks to the media as well on Wednesday. But next, hey, straight up, you heard the coach, looking for the Colts. Just quite simply, we'll discuss on the other side. Are you nervous about this game? Are you getting yourself nervous about this game? We'll discuss that next.